Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Austin, Texas is Carrie Kluwer. Carrie is Director of Global Compliance Programs for Tala, which is a fintech firm. First, Carrie, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me, Adam. I'm thrilled. So first, I feel like I must congratulate you and the SCCE for an outstanding conference last week.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great. And it was just terrific being able to have people not just online, but in person again. It was really amazing seeing how happy people were to be able to get together and talk in 3D as opposed to 2D on the screen.
That might be why I'm losing my voice.
That could well be. Now, let's start talking about your firm. First, I think it would be good if you gave people a quick understanding of what Tala is, who its customers are, and how it works.
The sure thing. So we'll start with who we are. There are 3 billion people globally who are financially underserved. And what that means is they don't have access to traditional financial services, mostly because they don't have a credit score. Tala is a fintech that's focused on changing that. Our first product is an Android app that offers instant credit on your phone. Since launching in Kenya in 2014, we've disbursed over $2 billion to more than 6 million customers in our countries. We now do offer card products and account products globally, which expands the compliance reach. What's really exciting is we made Forbes FinTech 50, the CNBC Disruptor 50 last year. And what I'm happiest about and most excited and scared for is we recently announced a partnership with Visa to start offering crypto services to our customers. To give you an idea who our customers are, a lot of our customers pay in cash. So we design services for people who really don't have access to quality financial services, can't get, you know, a savings account, quality credit, payment products. So typically these are small business owners or salaried workers who, despite having some financial stability, still aren't seen as trustworthy by traditional institutions. To give you an example, one of our customers, Mary, used to run a small restaurant in Nairobi. And now with COVID, she's not able to do that. So what Mary does is she cooks and delivers food from her home. Her customers half the time will pay her in credit. So she uses our loan to buy groceries and supplies so she can keep her business running while she's waiting for full payment. Without traditional credit history, we rely on alternative data. So our customer will download their app on the phone, complete a short application, and we use that along with the data on their smartphone to provide them with an instant decision.
Now, fascinating. You operate in a number of countries. Kenya, which you mentioned, was the first, but also the Philippines, Mexico, and India. What kind of regulatory structures do you face?
I do love when people from the U.S. ask me that, because it's really not the Wild West, as one might think. There are regulations. There's consumer protection laws, tax laws, anti-corruption laws, more so now than when I started working at Tala almost 4 years ago. Back then, there were fewer consumer protection laws. And as we became successful, many competitors started to come in, including some bad actors. And of course, the regulators started to take note. Our biggest regulatory challenge is data privacy. We currently have data protection laws in the Philippines and in Mexico. Additionally, in 2019, Kenya passed its first data protection law, which will be effective soon. And we're also looking for a new law in India to come soon as well.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. I mean, and staying on top of it is truly a team sport. So we have a global regulatory council that kind of handles the roundup, along with attorneys in each country. And so they, along with our general managers, will liaise with the regulatory bodies. And we also are very active with the local fintech alliances to ensure that we have a say in what regulations pass and to make sure that our peers do the right thing.
So what are some of the key risk areas that you have to manage? I imagine some fall to others.
Well, yeah, I'll narrow it down. So one of the interesting things is we've just launched our global compliance program in January of this year. So January was when we pitched our plan to the senior leadership committee, you know, went through our gap assessment and kicked off our first global risk assessment. So while each country had its own risks, the common themes that we face are data privacy, and of course, the risks that come with working with third parties in emerging markets.
Now, Will, your product delivered via an app, which I assume runs on a platform using AI, I imagine one of the compliance challenges you have to face is making sure that the AI is compliant, which is not always the case, as a lot of financial firms have found. How do you manage that?
That's a timely question. I did attend your general session last week, which was very fascinating. We do have limited regulatory framework for AI in our countries. However, we're very clear about handling data ethically. We have a data ethics policy clearly stated on our website. Additionally, our data science team frequently assesses our credit and fraud models for algorithm bias. Now, our models are still set up to exclude fields that could lead to bias, such as gender and race, but we feel the need to check them anyway. And what's most exciting is over the past week, we kicked off our first data governance committee meeting. So that's exciting, but our top priority is still keeping data safe. That's always going to be priority number one, not just the laws, but making sure that our technology structure is appropriate. Our employees have the awareness. In fact, we're currently going through the process to become ISO certified.
Can you tell me a bit about the data governance committee? That's intriguing.
Sure thing. So we recently hired a chief technology officer and a chief data officer. So with that, we're able to form the committee to really define what data we're collecting, why we're collecting, is it accurate?
Well, and it's something that obviously you need to do for a lot of reasons. I mean, aside from the bias issue. There's always the question of why do we have this? And once you have it, you've got to be careful with it. Now, the microloans, well, it's tough. And especially in the microloans business, because as you alluded to earlier, it's constantly under scrutiny. There are good actors, there's bad actors. A lot of people have fundamental questions about it. What role does the compliance team play in ensuring that the company stays on the right side of the ethical line? I imagine it's a pretty big job.
Well, I love that you asked that. Yes, we did speak about the regulatory landscape, but as we all know, there's so much more to compliance than compliance. It's really the people issues that keep me up at night. So I have teams in our countries. We do, you know, auditing, monitoring. Of course, the training and awareness we've kicked up full steam because everybody's still working from home. But it's the people that really keeps me up. And because we are a new department, we've put the structure in place, but it's the people that can erode what we've worked hard for our compliance culture. So it's my job to give them the tools not to do that. I'm doing right now an ethical leadership workshop with our teams globally, and it's just to help all levels of leadership understand some of the things that can kill a compliance culture. There's things that you don't think about, like poorly designed incentives, poorly designed goals, not being truthful, not holding people accountable, you know, or really just failing to walk the walk, talk the talk. And as a purpose-driven company, not living our purpose. And so that's important to us, is to focus on the ethics. And interestingly enough, because we do work in multiple countries, we have to train in multiple cultures, and that's not just translations, but for example, speaking up means different things in each of our countries, and it also has its own barriers. So I work closely with our people teams in the countries to ensure that our communications really fit the culture. And most importantly, not just for the employees, but we're really focusing right now on training the leaders to not just encourage safety, but really what retaliation looks like.
And retaliation can take all kinds of forms. It's not just firing somebody, but it's shunning them, making their life difficult, not including them. It just can be a rash of complex things that all get in the way. Well, Kerry, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.